Welcome back to Goal Line Stuff, the show where we talk about anything and everything football related. I'm Alex Kurkchiev.
And I'm Michael San Antonio, and boy, do we have a show for you today. We are back. It's the return that nobody wanted, but everybody needed. We're the greatest sports podcast of all time. I don't care about the Kelseys. I don't care about any of the other podcasts that are going on right now. We're back, and we're here to give you some playoff and end of the season content. Finally, we're back. And we have a lot to talk about today. So first, we're just going to go over Nathaniel Hackett and the Broncos' awful season, everything that's happened there. Just, quick go over that. We're going to talk about Tua and his concussion scandal with the league. Then we're going to be talking about Derek Carr getting benched for the final two Raiders games. And finally, what you're all been waiting for, we're going to be talking about the playoffs, the best teams this season, and what we think they're going to do in the playoffs, in the Super Bowl, who we think is going to win each game. That's going to be a lot of fun. I'm so excited for this. It's been too long, Alex. It
It's
really
been way too
has.
long. They need us back.
Everybody needs us
I
back.
can't imagine how they've been feeling without us.
Yeah, like who are they even listening to right now? Like, imagine trying to have your own opinions about sports that aren't related to goal line stuff and what we think.
Right, we're the authority.
We are the authority, and that's why we're back. I don't know what I was going to say there, but we're back. First, let's talk about this Nathaniel Hackett firing. I think everybody saw this coming. Anybody who's been watching football, at least watching this season, has seen this firing coming. The Broncos are atrocious this season. This offseason, everybody was talking about them, being a team that could be dangerous come playoff time. And they're in one of the best divisions in football, the AFC West, who have the Chiefs, the Chargers, the Raiders. But they're 4-11 right now. The quarterback who they're paying millions upon millions of dollars, who they invested so much into, has thrown a grand total of 12 touchdowns this season. And they're bottom 14 in terms of scoring offense. They've just been a disaster.
I think they're a
So
spot in
I think
the
this
team.
they're fourth right now in terms of total
Okay.
touchdowns. But yeah, they are very bad. They're probably the worst all-around team in terms of play this year, based on the amount of talent that they have, I would say. And so I don't know. I think this firing is justified. Nathaniel Hackett has looked awful in time management, making decisions. And the team just has really not met expectations.
I just don't see the point. Like, what good are you doing by firing him with two games left? I mean, I guess I don't see the difference between firing him at the end of the season and firing him now. Like, it's not like you're going to salvage your season. You're not playing for any draft pick to tank. It's kind of just doing it. But yeah, no, this Broncos team was even lower than my worst expectations for it. I was lower on Denver than everyone else. I saw them as a 7-8 win team tops. But being a bottom offense in the league and only winning four games, at least this far into the season, they're probably not going to win many more, if any. But it's just so much worse than I could have imagined. I didn't think Russ was a top 10 QB entering the season, and he's become a bottom. We'll give him 10 just for the benefit of the doubt in case just a bad year. We'll give him bottom 10 QB for the season, which is insane to me.
I think it's just a bad year. We've seen him in the past. He's not, he has the skills.
You've seen his decline. I predicted that he, like, it was predictable that he would regress coming to Denver. It's just he's regressed so hard that.
He had a pretty good 2020 season. I'm just saying. It's a pretty good 2020 season.
A long time ago now.
Not that long. He still could be a great quarterback in the future. I'm not going to count on it, but I'm not going to count him out in that, regard. But I think, Hackett losing 51 to 14 to the Baker Mayfield Rams, that's what did it. That's super demoralizing for a team that's supposed to be one of the best in the whole entire league to lose in that fashion
Who
after the season they've
is
already
saying
been
that they're
having.
supposed to be among the best?
I'm saying at the beginning of the season, like after everything that's happened, for them to like lose 51 to 14 in that game, for Russ to throw three picks, just the team looked horrendous. I think that, they're sending a message. Okay, we have to fire him now. Like, I don't know. It can't get worse than this. And
Difference in that game was the defense finally lost it. They've been
yeah.
carrying the team all year, but they've been in excellent defense. And then I guess the coach finally lost the defense too, and they just collapsed and
Everything fell
everything
apart. Yeah.
heads needed to roll.
Yep. So yeah, that's an interesting situation. I think we just wanted to touch on that. And there's the other things around Russ, the fact that he has his own office, private office in the Bron with the Broncos. People don't like that. They don't like the corporate image that he has and the fact that he has all this and then he's, putting up 12 touchdowns and 9 picks on the season. I mean, it's not a good look. So definitely if Russ wants to save his career, his image, he's gotta bounce back. Even if things are rough, he's gotta put up at least a decent year next year. And I don't know. I'm interested to hear your take on that, Alex. You think he'll do that?
Have a better year next year? Yeah, I think he will.
Better, that's not the, do you think he'll have a decent to good year next year? Better is such a, subjective word. Do you think he'll be good next
Well,
year?
he'll have a better year because it's not possible to have a worse year.
Yeah, exactly. That's kind of what I'm saying.
So regression to the mean is bound. But no, I think the old Russ is just done.
Interesting.
There's too no, there's too many flaws. When he was younger, he could cover it up because he had the athleticism to run around. This year, he hasn't been running around at all. It's also partly why he hasn't been a great fantasy quarterback. Not that that's anything to do with anything, but he was so great because of his rushing along with his passing. But now that he's gotten older, he isn't running anymore. And he's always been reluctant to throw short and throw medium. He never has liked to do that. He just likes to chuck the ball deep as far as he can. And that's just not going to work anymore. He needs to completely reinvent himself as a quarterback if he wants to stay successful. Otherwise, he's done.
I think he's not used to the system. Yeah, I think he's going to have to reinvent himself, but I think that's possible. And I do agree with, his athleticism has definitely declined a little bit. He's not running as much as usual, but I still think he's capable of being an elite level passer, potentially. I don't want to say it's going to happen because I was not expecting this year. I was not. I give you credit for calling it out before everybody else that he was declining. And I guess that's the question. We'll see if Russ and the Broncos can rebound next season and for years to come without Nathaniel Hackett, with, a new coach, new atmosphere. Defense still looks good. I guess we'll see. Next, let's just talk about Tua and the concussions. We didn't cover it, obviously, because we haven't been here, but that week three, or was it week four? I think it was week four. The week four situation with Tua was just awful. I mean, were you watching that game live, Alex?
Where he went like with the hands.
Yeah.
No, that was against Cincinnati.
Yes.
Wasn't
That
the
was week
original concussion
four.
against Buffalo?
No, but I'm talking about Cincinnati first.
Yeah,
So,
that was scary.
yeah, I mean, I was watching it live and it was literally like 10 minutes just gone
Yeah.
by of them dealing with two on the
I
field.
was
You
like, this
don't
dude
see
is
that.
paralyzed.
Yeah, you don't see that in pro sports. You don't see a player down for 10, 15 minutes. There was literally two commercial breaks. Like, I don't know. It was hard to watch. And so after all of that, they made those Tua rules, where if a player gets hit and it looks like it could be concussion related, you have to go into concussion protocol and basically leave the game and not return if it's significant enough. And so, the league, they've always had concussion protocol, but they put a lot of emphasis on it because of this Tua situation. And just like you said, in the Green Bay game, it looks like Tua got a concussion again and he played the game out and threw three picks, had an awful game. And even worse, he has concussion symptoms now. And so it looks like they might have to shut him down for the year. And I mean, the NFL doesn't like this image. They're already, getting sued because of injuries, concussions, CTE, stuff like that. This is just such a bad look for the league, and this is potentially bad for the playoffs. You're looking at a team, the Dolphins with Tua are one of the more dangerous teams in the playoffs, in my opinion, not the most dangerous, but without him, they might not even make it now, I don't think. So,
To me, it's in the nature of the sport. Guys are going to get hit in the head. Concussions are going to happen. It's luck, basically. But that being said, once that does occur, you have to take extra precautions. The guy suffered a concussion in week three against Buffalo. And then they were like, oh no, this isn't a concussion. Put him back in the game and then played him 4 days later against Cincinnati on Thursday, where we obviously saw what happened, an even worse concussion because he most likely wasn't recovered from the first one, period. And Once you suffer concussions, I believe, I'm no doctor, I don't know, but I think I read this, that you're prone to suffer more. And having multiple concussions in a season, that happens. Like if we said he suffered one against Buffalo week three, he sat out, recovered, blah, 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 and suffered another one against Green Bay. That's something different. I think that the worry comes from the mismanagement in the first place. That's why this is such a big deal, because they bungled it completely the first time around. And so, in my
That
opinion,
definitely is the big deal.
you got to worry about his health long term if the guy's going to be able to read words off a page in the next, once 10 years goes by. So I think you have to sit him throughout the whole season, but they might not. I mean, the football player is always going to want to play football. So that's kind of all there is to say to me.
I think they'll shut him down. I just th think it's important that we note and talk about this situation, because I can't remember a time when something like this has happened, at least in modern day
Luke
NFL.
Kuechly retired because he had three concussions in one season.
That's true. But like, it wasn't as publicized as this, because with this, like,
Because it was such terrible mismanagement.
we're seeing the terrible mismanagement. We're seeing Tua, like, people were talking about him potentially having concussions before it was even known that he had one. Because
Yeah,
just
no,
the
because
symptoms that he had on the field, you know?
his play in the first half was so different than his play in the second half. He was like
You
nine
can
for
tell
12 or
something's up.
something. He was 9 for 12 or something before the play that he suffered the concussion. Then after that, he threw three picks.
And, there were signs in the other games too before it became publicized that he had concussions. So it's not a great look for the Dolphins or their management at all. And yeah, I mean, it's like I said, it also stinks. You want to see a healthy Tua play in the playoffs against these other teams. So yeah, I just think it's important to talk about that. And continuing to talk about quarterbacks, we just talked about Russ and Tua. We're going to talk about Derek Carr, because yesterday, I believe, or maybe 2 days ago, it was announced that Derek Carr is being benched for the rest of the season. And I was a little surprised to see this, but upon thinking about it for the first 5 minutes, I was like, oh, they're going to trade him.
No, I disagree with you.
Okay, tell me what you think is going to happen then.
I think they're gonna cut him.
You think they're going to cut him?
Yeah, nobody's gonna want to trade for him when you know they're gonna cut him. Why would you? Why would you give up draft assets when you can just get him for free?
I mean, I guess
Draft
that's fair, but
capital.
I feel like a quarterback, I feel like a quarterback of Derek Carr's stature is going to get, someone's going to trade for him.
Mediocre.
He's a little bit better than mediocre.
Average.
He's a little bit better than average.
Go average.
He's like of I would say Derek Carr is very similar to Dak Prescott, in my opinion. I think he's right around there.
I think Dak is better.
Dak might be a little bit better, but Derek Carr is put Derek Carr in the Cowboys and they're still a winning team and he's putting up better numbers.
I disagree. I
Maybe
don't think
not better
Derek
numbers
Carr
than
is
Dak, but
good.
he's
Look at
putting
what
up.
Derek Carr has around him.
Not, it hasn't been great this year. He has Davante
He's
Adams and
been
Josh Jacobs.
horrible this year. Horrible.
I don't know. I don't think he's the issue with the Raiders.
I don't think he's the issue. I think he's an issue.
Is he though?
Yes.
We have different views on Derek Carr. I think he's been fine, and he's kind of just being the scapegoat right here. Awful defenses for his whole
He's
career.
not, no, he's not the scapegoat. It's just the
I mean, he kind of
relationship is
is.
the
They
no, the
had a.
relationship has run its course. The guy is not able to get the ball to Davante Adams, who is,
Yeah,
if
he
not
is
the best
1,300
receiver in the
yards,
league.
12 touchdowns.
Huh?
He's getting the ball to him. He has 1,300 yards and 12 touchdowns.
Not as much as he should be. The guy
I
is
mean, he's
one of,
not
if
Aaron
not the
Rodgers.
best
He's not
receiver
going to
in the
get
league.
it 1,500 yards and 18 touchdowns or
That's
whatever
what he should be
Rodgers could
doing.
do, but
That's what he should be doing.
I don't think it's.
There's been multiple games this season where Mac Hollins is out targeting Davante Adams. That's
No, that is
asinine.
true. I don't think that's a Derek Carr issue. I think that that's an offensive issue, coaching issue. McDaniel's not a great coach.
No, I think that was a horrible signing.
Yeah, and
Everything is just a mess there.
I think that if Derek Carr, if the Raiders had a somewhat successful season, Derek Carr is going to continue being the Raiders quarterback for the next couple seasons.
That may be, but they didn't. And he,
yeah, and
he
but
did
I don't
not
think it's
play
his
well
fault,
at
is what
all.
I'm saying.
I
That's
think
just
he
all
was
I'm saying.
terrible.
This is all I'm saying. And it brings up the question, though. I mean, what are the Rangers going to do at quarterback? I want to hear what you think about this, Alex. For next season, what do you think they're doing? Are they going for someone in the draft? Are
No.
they going after Tom Brady?
Well, we discussed it before we recorded, and I think that Tom Brady is a very likely possibility. I don't know that Sean Payton is involved. I've seen that Tom Brady and Sean Payton are going to team up somewhere. I don't know that that'll be the Raiders because there's been reports of the Raiders not firing McDaniels because they're cash poor. They have no cash flow, so then they're going to have to be paying Gruden, McDaniels, and whoever they hire in this hypothetical Sean Payton, who's going to want a lot of money. But I think Brady's definitely a possibility. I think that if that doesn't work, because it's not that they're not going to be able to get Brady through like team methods, like drafting, like trading or signing money. It's that Brady isn't going to want to go there. Brady is going to want to go. Brady is going to go wherever he wants to go.
He doesn't want to
That's
go with Patrick Mahomes and Justin Herbert in his
what will determine where Brady goes, where Brady wants to go, rather than who gives him the most money or, you know, something like that. And so then I think if they don't get Brady, then they're going to go towards Jimmy Garoppolo, where their main competitor will be the Jets. That's going to be the two teams going for Jimmy, in my opinion. If that fails, then you're in a little bit of a predicament. Then
I don't think they're going quarterback in the draft. I
I
don't.
think that you're going to have to go for one of the reclamation projects. You're either going to delude yourself into thinking Jordan Love is the answer and get a and like trade a second or third for him. Or delude yourself into thinking that one of the Niners quarterbacks, either Brock Purdy, you're going to delude yourself into thinking that he's going to be the starter for a whole season, or by some miracle they want to trade Trey Lance and they're sold on Brock Purdy as the future, then you'll try and get him. But I think that that's going to be your order. You're going to go for Tom Brady first, then Jimmy, then a reclamation project.
If Brock Purdy wins the Super Bowl, do you think he's the starter next season?
No.
Interesting.
No.
Interesting.
Nick Foles won the Super Bowl. Was Nick Foles the starter next season?
No.
No.
That was a little different.
I disagree.
Carson Wentz was literally gonna win MVP from that season if he stayed healthy.
It's about
Trey Lance
potential.
looked awful the
You're
first
young.
couple games, and
You're young.
Jimmy G, we already know
Trey
he's
Lance
awful.
hasn't played. He played one or two games and then
And he
broke his
looked
ankle.
awful.
I don't
Not
think you can
I
say
know
that.
how
Yeah.
crazy it is to say, but I'm just saying, I think it's a possibility.
No, that's outrageous. No way.
But we're not going to continue talking about this right now. Where do you think Derek Carr is going to go?
Where do I think Derek Carr is going to go? He's also going to be in Jets territory. I think he'll also be in Colts territory, but to me, the Colts are going to go for someone in the draft, so maybe not. Derek Carr is also going to be in Washington territory. All of these teams that are iffy at quarterback or just downright bad and they have a good team around them, like the Jets, like Washington, are going to be going for Derek Carr and Jimmy Garoppolo. Though, like, that's the type of quarterback they're going to be looking for. Not someone who's a star to push them over the top, but someone who they believe can take them from borderline playoff team to actual playoff team. They have a playoff caliber roster, but have bad quarterback play. So they're only barely getting into the playoffs and losing in the wild card round. They're not going to be shooting for the stars where they believe they have a contending roster. They're just going to be happy with playoff teams and then hoping for the best regarding actual contention.
That's interesting. It's interesting that I keep hearing the Colts come up. Derek Carr
Colts are
to
going to
me
draft someone.
going to the Colts. I mean, I get it, but at the same time, you've had a bunch of like older washed up
Yeah.
quarterbacks in the past. Like they've been going after veterans for the last 3 years and it just hasn't worked out. And I think Derek Carr would be kind of a similar situation. He may be better than any of the guys they've gone after, but if Derek Carr goes to Washington or Indianapolis, I don't think either team's going to be good enough to get the results that either of them really want. And at the same time, you're going to be investing a lot into a guy who, like you said, is pretty much mediocre. I mean, I think he's a little bit better, but I don't think Derek Carr's a guy who's going to win you a lot of games. We've seen it with Oakland. He's had some Oakland in the past, now Las Vegas. We've seen it with them. with the Raiders, he has lost more than he's won. And I think that the defense has been bad since he's been there. You know, there's a lot of other reasons why they've lost, but at the same time, he hasn't gotten the job done. And I don't think that these other mediocre teams are going to, you know, be a difference with Derek Carr. I still think he won't get the job done. So,
well, put it to you this way. Is Washington making the playoffs with average quarterback play this year?
I think they're making the playoffs because of how weak the NFC is. And I think it's an outlier how weak it is this year. I don't think you could count on it being this weak for the next years to come.
What I'm saying is Washington is making the playoffs this year with below average quarterback play.
I agree.
If you tell me that, like, let's just assume that they've lost two games mm-hmm. from their bad quarterback play, and you give them average, someone yeah. who won't throw the game away, a la Carson Wentz or Heinicke. So then that puts you at the moment, 9-5-1.
Yeah.
That's the second wildcard team. And so you're comfortably in the playoffs. I wouldn't say that it's because the NFC is weak. And we'll give them splitting the last game. So then you finish with a record of 10-6-1. That's a playoff team.
You tell me this, though. 10-6-1, Derek Carr, Washington Commanders. Go into the playoffs. Who are they playing if they're 10-6-1 right now?
The Vikings.
I think as spotty as the Vikings have been, I think the Vikings are winning that game.
I don't think we can say that for sure.
I think there's a very good chance the Vikings are winning that game. And the Vikings aren't a great example. If you look at any of these other teams, I think the Commanders are not having a deep playoff run with Derek Carr, unless they drastically improve the rest of their team. But I don't know.
I think their roster is pretty good. I'm not calling it great.
I don't think, it's all right. It's all right. A team that I don't like saying this as an Eagles fan, but I think if the Giants got Derek Carr.
See, I was just thinking that, but you're going from average to average.
Daniel Jones to me is not average.
I think below average?
I think Daniel Jones is a little bit below average, and they have no receivers right now. So their offense is pretty stagnant. Their defense is keeping them in games, and great coaching, Saquon, some good play from Daniel Jones is pushing them over the edge and winning them some games. But get Derek Carr, get some good, actual good receivers in free agency or the draft, and the Giants could go from being like a good team that can't really win against better teams to being actual, like a really good, scary team.
But that contradicts what you just said.
No, because I think the Giants are in a better place right now than the Commanders are.
You're not saying go from Daniel Jones to Derek Carr and you're winning more games. You're saying go from Daniel Jones with no receivers and Derek Carr with receivers and you win games.
Well, I think the thing is that Washington has receivers. Washington has playmakers. And Washington at times, I think Heinicke at times plays better than Daniel Jones does. Wentz, same thing. No. He can stretch the field. Daniel Jones right now is winning because he's not passing the ball that much.
Because they have no one to throw to.
Yeah, but you see what I'm saying. They're winning because they're not utilizing their quarterback. Imagine if they can, you know, have a quarterback who they can rely on and can utilize, who could help them win even more. That's just all I'm saying. I think that these other teams already are passing the ball a decent amount and are bad at it. And I don't think Derek Carr is going to be a great replacement for that. But I think with the Giants, if they can get other things right, I think that could actually be a good spot for Derek Carr.
No, but listen,
I just don't love a lot of these other spots.
Listen, to me, the Giants, in a way, remind me a lot of the pre-Stephon Diggs Bills. Obviously, yeah. Daniel Jones does not have the kind of potential that Josh Allen did. Josh Allen is an athletic freak, cannon arm, great runner, but Dimes himself is not a bad runner. In fact, I'd call him a good runner. And their offense is just kind of lame because they have no receivers and no like explosive passing game, which is exactly how the Bills were before they traded for Stephon Diggs. As soon as you open up that offense by giving your quarterback an elite receiver, it doesn't even have to be an elite one. So Stephon Diggs is top five, but he wasn't at the time. And you just give him a good receiver. So like more than the nothing that you've given him so far, then I think that your offense is going to become so much more capable. To me, Dimes is still happily average, but so is Derek Carr. There's not much of a gap in their play for me. So replacing Dimes with Carr is not going to be, it's a lateral move is what I'm saying.
I think that Derek Carr at least provides more stability, I guess, if that's a word for it. I don't think it's smart to offer Daniel Jones a contract after this season.
I don't think you would. I think what you do is you give him a 2-year deal.
I guess
I'm
that's
Giants,
fair.
that's what I'm doing.
I don't if I'm coach, I would move for Derek Carr over Daniel Jones. I think that there's a bigger difference there than you think there is, but that's just my opinion. And I don't know. When I look at different situations, I think the Giants are the team that I think Derek Carr would work out with. When I look at all these other teams, I don't see many others that work with him, in my opinion, or at
Jets.
least work with the results that they would want to see
Jets.
with Derek Carr.
Jets.
Jets, yeah, Jets maybe. I definitely
Jets
think the
are
Jets.
absolutely positively getting either Derek Carr or Jimmy.
Have you heard the buzz about
I
Lamar
bet a
Jackson
lot of
to the
money.
Jets?
I actually have heard that Lamar might be like I've heard buzz about Lamar leaving.
I think Lamar's staying with the
I
Ravens.
don't see it. You fire Greg Roman before you fire Lamar Jackson.
Lamar is the Ravens right now. And yeah,
You fire Greg
he's
Roman
staying
and
with the
get him
Ravens.
some receivers before you fire Lamar Jackson.
I agree. I full-heartedly agree. Lamar Jackson is such a game changer. Yeah. It'll be interesting to see where Derek Carr ends up going. You know, like you say, he's not great, but at the same time, like he's good enough that he could impact a good team if he lands on a good team or
A
ends
good
up on a
team
good
that
team.
has bad QB play.
Yeah.
The
Or
top
like,
three are Jets, Washington, and I don't even see a third.
I think the Giants, but that's just my opinion.
No, I don't see it happening.
I could
Maybe the
definitely.
Colts, if they once again delude themselves into thinking they have a good roster,
I
who's a
think
QB
the
away?
Colts are going young. I feel
They
like
have to be. They have to be.
they have to be going young.
Because
But
their veteran strategy has been the right call. Once they lost Andrew Luck, they go, "Oh,
Philip
our
Rivers.
roster is still supposed to be good. Let's sign Philip Rivers." And they had a good season. They made the playoffs.
Yep.
But then as you wait more time and you keep doing this 1 year every year stuff, your roster around that quarterback is getting worse. And then you just end up with a mediocre roster with a mediocre quarterback and you're not doing anything.
And you can't keep replacing, like you can't keep replacing a quarterback every season and expect the team to just be good eventually. Like that's just not how it works. I mean,
They're
maybe.
ignoring their roster.
Yeah.
They think they have their roster of 3, 4 years ago where they were a quarterback away.
Yeah, the line's getting worse now. You know, things are just starting to fall apart. And there's a lot of teams kind of like this. A team we haven't talked about, the Panthers, could be an option for Derek Carr.
Panthers are actually a quarterback away.
Yeah, definitely could be. Their running game looks great right now, which is surprising after trading McCaffrey. But yeah. And their defense, I mean, if they keep Brian Burns, their defense is really
Defense is
not that bad.
fantastic. No, their
Yeah.
defense has been playing awesome.
It's been playing great, but their offense hasn't played well enough
Because
to.
they have no quarterback
Yeah.
and
So.
awful weapons outside of DJ Moore.
Yeah. Free DJ Moore or get him a quarterback.
They're going
Either
to get him
one.
a quarterback.
Either one. Get him a
If
quarterback.
they make the playoffs, which is hilarious to say, because they're going to be like 6-10, 6-11,
They'll
seven and
be eight
ten.
and nine if they win against the Bucks, right?
I don't know.
I think so.
Either way, I don't think it's happening. But if they make the playoffs, then that throws them out of contention of drafting a QB, which would suck for them. So then you have to start looking at the Jimmy Garoppolo, Derek Carrs of the world. Personally, if I'm Carolina, I'm taking a shot at Jordan Love.
I like that for Carolina. I do. I don't know why, but I like that.
That's kind of what you did with Sam Darnold, but
Maybe Darnold goes on a surprise playoff run.
Darnold's been playing well the last few weeks.
Yeah.
Jokes aside,
I can't I'm not gonna say I can't wait. I don't want him to fail, but I know he's gonna crash and burn at some point. It's
it's
just
kind of
it's been the
inevitable.
story of his career.
It's
I
kind
guess
of
we'll see.
inevitable. He's always
Yeah.
shown like something, and then it's just ugly.
Yeah, and it's too bad because he's a good guy. He works hard too. Yeah. imagine if the Panthers do make the playoffs.
I don't even like that's probably the worst playoff team ever.
It definitely is one of them. Let's just start talking about playoff seeding and our playoff brackets. The Carolina Panthers making the playoffs reminded me that they definitely, you know, they could. And there's a lot of matchups this week that are huge for playoff contention. One of them being the Bucks versus the Panthers. And I'm going to debrief everybody listening to this. We talked about, you know, what we think the seeding's going to be for the playoffs before we started recording this episode. And we don't have the Panthers making it. We both have the Bucks. Do we want to go over, like, what we have for the seeds for both the AFC and the NFC?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's start with NFC first. So we have the Eagles with the one seed. We think they're going to beat the Saints or one of the two games and make the one seed. At the two seed, we have San Francisco. Three seed, we have Minnesota. And with that, we have Minnesota actually losing to the Packers this week. We think it's going to happen. There's just enough firepower there. They're in Lambeau. Rodgers is 15-0 in Lambeau in the last two seasons in December, in the month of December. So we're not in the last two seasons with, you know, the new coaching staff. He's 15-0.
That's insane.
It is insane. I think they're going to win. Fourth seed, just like I said, we have Tampa Bay winning. So we have Tampa Bay at 8-9 with the fourth seed in the NFC. Fifth seed, Dallas at 12-5. Should probably be higher than that, but the seeding's a little messed up. Sixth seed, we have the New York Giants at 9-7-1. And seventh seed, we have Washington Commanders squeaking in, winning at least one of their last two games.
It's two. It's both.
But they need to at least win one. And that's,
if they split, they are out.
That's not true.
Because Green Bay is going to win out.
No, Washington's already ahead, and they have the tie. So, oh, no, wait, you might be right. No, I think they
Washington
have to
needs to win out to make it.
And I think they will.
Without help. I think they will win out because they have Cleveland and Dallas. Yeah. Dallas is going to sit their starters week 18.
And Cleveland has been bad.
Yeah, Cleveland just kind of sucks.
Yeah, so we both think Washington's going to make it, and we have them at our seven. But even if Green Bay's there, I don't think it affects us what our brackets will be very much anyway. And then split side, AFC. Do you want to announce the AFC or you want me to keep going?
With AFC, we're going to say that Tua is sitting for the rest of the season. And so ultimately that obviously impacts Miami's ability to win these last couple games. I personally think that they're going to beat the Patriots this week, but then lose to the Jets next week, which puts the Jets in at the seventh spot. Right now the seeding is Chargers at six, Baltimore at five, but I don't think that's going to hold. I think the Chargers are going to win this week and the Ravens are going to lose one of the next couple of games because they still don't have Lamar back. So then Baltimore is going to slot in at number six. Chargers are going to be number five. And this week on Monday night, it's going to be Buffalo at Cincinnati, where we both think that Cincinnati is going to win, which puts Kansas City at number one, Cincinnati at number two, and Buffalo at number three, with the last playoff team being Jacksonville winning their division at the fourth spot, which to do that, all they have to do is beat Tennessee next week, which they will because Tennessee blows.
Yeah. That's pretty crazy. When you think about it, the biggest game is Cincinnati versus Buffalo because, you know, any of those three teams, Kansas City, Cincinnati, Buffalo, could all get that first, or Cincinnati can't get the first round bye, but, you know, that really affects how the AFC works.
Yeah. So moving on to our playoff predictions. With our playoff predictions, we're going to go, I'm going to go through my whole NFC bracket. Then he's going to do his NFC. Then we're going to repeat the process for AFC. So with that being said, I'm going to just go ahead and start with second seeded San Francisco versus seven seeded Washington. San Francisco has the best defense in the league and a very capable offense, which is really surprising considering they have some guy at their quarterback, essentially. No disrespect to Brock Purdy. He's been playing great. But what he is some guy. He's literally Mr. Irrelevant. But Kyle Shanahan has him playing like a perfectly capable starting quarterback where their offense is humming the same way it was with Jimmy Garoppolo, if not more. So it's got to be San Francisco moving on because Washington is just not that good. And to me, has no business being in the playoffs. Next, we have third-seeded Minnesota versus six-seeded Giants, which happened earlier this season. In fact, it was just last week. And what we saw in that game was that Minnesota barely beat the Giants, even though they should have handedly beat them. But that's the story of Minnesota's whole season. what they do is go up big in games, then blow it, then win by one score. They're 11-0 in one score games, which is just entirely unsustainable considering they have 12 wins on the whole season. 11 of their 12 wins have been by one score. And they just can't keep that up. But they're going to beat the Giants anyway. At least that's what I'm predicting. It'll be unnecessarily close, as is typical with Minnesota this season. But I give them the favorite because they're the higher seed and have won all season. Next, we have the fourth seed division-winning Tampa Bay Buccaneers versus fifth seed Dallas. And I would say it's an unpopular opinion, but there's no way it's an unpopular opinion. Tampa Bay sucks this year. Flat and like straight up. Simple. The only reason they've won this many games is because they'll get into close games and then, well, this is my theory at least. This is what I think. They'll get into these close games and then Tom Brady takes over the offensive system and play calling, and then they manage to win these games because if you'll notice, every time they're in a close game in a 2-minute drill type of situation, their offense looks awesome, like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers of old. But throughout the whole game, their offense is anemic, which means to me is that Byron Leftwich can't call an offense, and it's just not going to work. Dallas is going to go up by way too much in that time where Tampa sucks and is going to beat Tampa handily. So then we've got our new matchups are Philadelphia versus Dallas in Philadelphia and San Francisco versus Minnesota in San Francisco. I'll start with the one seed because they have the lowest seed remaining. On Christmas Eve, the Eagles walked into Dallas with Gardner Minshew as their starting quarterback because Jalen Hurts got hurt, ironically, and only lost by one touchdown. The final score was 40-33, meaning the Dallas defense allowed the Eagles to put up 33 points with their backup quarterback, who is so much less physically capable than their starter, Jalen Hurts, and still only won by one touchdown on a day where the Eagles turned it over four times. Which leads me to believe that once the tables are turned, I don't know, and the game is in Philadelphia with Jalen Hurts back, it's going to be a far different story. There is some concerns with Jonathan Gannon's defensive play calling with the Eagles. I mean, they got 40 put up on them by Dallas with most of their starters there, but the Eagles should have CJ Gardner-Johnson back. They should potentially have Avante Maddox, although I'm not too sure about that.
Mm-hmm.
Either way, CJ Gardner-Johnson's the big one. Guy leads the league in interceptions and hasn't played in a while. So I think it'll be a pretty convincing Eagles victory. I'd say two scores at least. Then we get to San Francisco versus Minnesota, which I've been waiting to talk about because all this season I believe that Minnesota is a fraudulent team. I talked about it earlier with their 11-0 in one score games. Personally, I'm mind blown by that, the fact that that's even possible. But with it already being that way, then it'll be a close game. Minnesota games just are close. That's how it works. Unless they get blown out by Dallas like they did. Not that they're playing Dallas, but, you know, that game was 40-3. That was rough. I just don't think they're as good of a team as the record suggests. I think they've just had a great string of luck. Although it is partially a skill, closing out games. That's something that a team needs to be good at to be successful, and they are successful. But I still think it's luck, and I think that San Francisco is, on paper, the better team and has been playing better. And there is jokes about primetime Kirk Cousins. I don't know how much stock we can put into it, but there is a track record there. I don't think we can say that, oh, the Vikings are going to lose just because it's primetime Kirk Cousins. That's not fair. But I think we can say that primetime Kirk Cousins, along with the play calling, the defense, the one score game luck, I think that we can just say that San Francisco is going to beat them because of all those factors. Which leads you to the NFC Championship of the San Francisco 49ers versus the Philadelphia Eagles in Philadelphia. And this is going to be a dogfight because both teams play kind of similarly. They both rely on their defense and their run game. The Niners a little bit more than the Eagles because the Eagles have been lighting teams up through the air this year. Jalen Hurts has been an MVP caliber quarterback. And if he hadn't gotten hurt, I'd say he would have won it. Because I believe that he would have put up a stellar performance against Dallas last week. So that offense is explosive, and it'll be a big test against the Niners, how they'll do. But the Niners thrive on pressure, led by their star defensive end, Nick Bosa, who I definitely say is a leading candidate for Defensive Player of the Year.
Either him or Parsons, yeah.
But the Eagles have Jalen Hurts. You pressure him, he runs. You sell out on the run, he can light you up through the air. And I think that the Eagles have the talent to shut down the Shanahan system led by Brock Purdy, to make Brock Purdy look inexperienced the way he is. Whether they'll be able to do that in practice, like I said, they have issues with the play calling, but they have the talent to do it. So I'm going to gamble and say that they are going to make Brock Purdy feel the pressure, which he hasn't so far. I think that Brock Purdy will finally act like he's in the position he is of being some seventh round pick quarterback that's making crucial starts. I think the Eagles are going to make the Super Bowl, homer take or not.
Wow, I love it. I hope it happens. And yeah, that would be great if we made the Super Bowl. But we both are being completely unbiased with our picks. I just want to, you know, make that clear. As much as we
unbiased
love
as I can be.
As much as we love the Eagles, we are trying to make this as realistic as possible. And you did a good job with that, Alex. You explained your reasoning behind, you know, your picks. So I definitely think that that could happen. And, you know, my bracket's pretty similar to yours. I'm going to start with Washington versus San Francisco. I want to emphasize that this could go to the Lions. This could go to the Seahawks. This could be the Packers playing San Francisco. And any of those teams... I don't think any of those teams makes a difference with this game. I think San Francisco wins this game. You know, Brock Purdy's playing pretty well. He's a game manager, but he's been playing pretty well. Like you said, you know, they're relying on the run. Their defense might be the best in the league this season. Nick Bosa, I think, should be Defensive Player of the Year. And Washington with Carson Wentz or Taylor Heineke, yeah, Heineke may get hot, but you know, I doubt it's going to be enough to down the Niners and their great defense. I think the Niners will win by, you know, a decent amount. Next game, we have Giants versus Minnesota. And this one is tough. We just saw them play just a week ago, and the Giants almost won the game. You know, it came down to a 61-yard field goal by Greg Joseph for the Vikings to win. And even that wasn't a guarantee. The Giants looked like they were playing and were as good of a team as the Vikings. And so it makes me wonder, could this be an upset? And, you know, one thing you said, you were like, oh, Kirk Cousins, they're frauds. You know, you talked about that a little bit. I just want to remind you, Alex, Kirk Cousins, 2018, beat Drew Brees in the playoffs in overtime.
2019, I think.
2019. I'm just playing, though.
Like I said, it's not fair to just be like, oh, they're going to lose.
It isn't fair, except I'm going to do it. I think that the Vikings are going to lose to the New York Giants in the first round of the playoffs. And I know that's crazy. I know that's crazy. You know, if I was putting money on this, I would probably lean Minnesota because I want to be safe. But I think the Giants are a better coach team. You know, I think Dable is the better coach out of the two. I know that's crazy to say. O'Connell's been great. But I think the Giants are a little bit more stable, and I think it's going to be a tough, gritty matchup, and it's going to come down to the wire, and I think the Giants are going to take this one. So that's one of our differences with our bracket. I think I have the Giants over the Vikings, first round wild card. And then Dallas versus Tampa Bay, similar to what you said everything correct. Tampa sucks. I know Brady's the GOAT, okay? I know that. And I would love if Brady could overtake the Cowboys in this game. I would love them to have a wild card exit. It's not going to happen. Dak could throw three picks. They'll still probably win this game. I got Dallas in this one pretty easily. Dallas should not be the fifth seed. They're more like the three seed right now in the NFC. Moving on to the divisional round, with the Giants beating Minnesota. It's a dream matchup for my Philadelphia Eagles. I didn't just pick it because it was a dream matchup, but it is. I have the Eagles winning this one by a couple scores. I think, you know, we match up super well against the Giants, better than Minnesota does for sure. And it's a dream scenario. The Eagles walk right into the NFC Championship game. I don't think the Giants stand a chance if they make it past the Minnesota Vikings, which I have them. So I have us beating the Giants. And then in the next game, I have the Niners versus the Dallas Cowboys. And this one is, you know, it's harder for me to predict who's going to win this game. When it comes down to it, I think that the Niners are the stronger team. And I think it'll be close. I think Dallas will put up a fight. Dallas, I could easily see them winning this and going to the NFC Championship game. But at the same time, I think Nick Bosa, the defense, too overpowering. Brock Purdy does his job. He's going to game manage how he knows how to game manage. And I think Dallas will lose by a score. It'll be a close game, which will cause Philadelphia versus San Francisco in the NFC Championship game very similar to what you had. And I have the Niners winning this one.
Niners. Okay.
Oh, I was just kidding.
Oh.
Yeah, I have the Eagles winning this one. I got everybody there for a second. I don't have the Niners. It's going to be close. I have faith in my team, though, and I'm not just saying this as a biased fan. I think the Eagles, when they're playing well offensively, are the best team in the league. And their defense does have some issues. But at the same time, I don't think there are issues that, you know, are going to be caused by Brock Purdy and the San Francisco offense. I'm more scared about Dallas's offense, to be fair. Yeah. I think as long as we put up points, which I think we'll be able to do even against the toughest defenses, we can win these games. And when it comes down to it, I think we match up pretty well versus San Francisco.
I agree.
I thought about it a couple times, but I think if we play the way we've been playing in the regular season, there's no way that we don't end up in the Super Bowl. And I think that's what we're going to do. Eagles in the Super Bowl. That's my pick. Let's move on to the AFC with you.
All right. So with our AFC bracket, we said that the Jets are going to be the 7th seed, which is not set in stone right now. I think the only the only really like serious contender for them is Miami.
Patriots are there too, though.
Yeah, but they're not a serious contender. I think the Patriots suck. We would see a repeat performance of last year's Patriots playoff game.
Oh, yeah.
Put it to you this way. Oof. Anyway, but I think that the Jets now with Mike White back, I love that how we're talking about Mike White as if he's some savior, like some great quarterback that's going to save the Jets season.
I don't know if he'll save it, but he'll throw for 400 yards in the process.
He is gonna save their season when you compare it to Zach Wilson because of how bad Zach Wilson has been, because Zach Wilson is losing them games.
Yep.
Anyway, I just thought that was funny that we're calling him basically the savior of their season. But only for one more game, because they have to play the Bengals in Cincinnati and it's not going to be pretty. The Jets have a good defense, but they still can't score even with Mike White. With Mike White, they're a competent offense. With Zach Wilson, they're a horrible offense. The Bengals, however, are a top offense with all their players, unless Joe Burrow gets hurt in the last couple weeks of the season, which can't predict that. So it's going to be the Bengals. The Jets are not a good team. Like, not, I wouldn't say not a good team, but they're not on the caliber of Cincinnati. Unless we see some miracle Mike White repeat performance from last year against Cincinnati. Which would be funny. Next, we have Baltimore versus Buffalo. In Buffalo, obviously. Lamar, I believe, is expected to be back. Although, to me, that doesn't change the result of the game. Baltimore has not played well this season. In fact, I'm looking at their record of... Right now, I have it projected 10-7. It's going to be within that range. 9-10 wins. I don't know how that happened. I guess I just can't remember them being that great of a team over the course of the season. I guess I've just been wrong about them, but I just don't think they're that great of a team. Their offense is not explosive enough for the playoffs. I don't see any reason why this season would be different than any of the past few seasons. In fact, they're worse than the past few seasons. They traded away Hollywood. Rashad Bateman is out for the season. They have nobody at the receiver position. Mark Andrews is playing injured. Dobbins is back, but he's about the only positive thing they have going for them on offense right now. And that offense is just going to get shut down. Even though Buffalo's defense is injured, they just got Trey White back, which is good. And their offense has been playing iffy, but still they're on a whole nother level of a team as opposed to Baltimore. Next, we have our fourth and fifth seed matchup of Jacksonville versus the Chargers. I'm calling it an upset just because the Chargers are going to have a better record than Jacksonville. But seeding-wise, it's not an upset. I've got Jacksonville beating the Chargers. The Chargers have been playing well over the past few weeks, which is why they've made it to the playoffs to begin with. And I do like them, and I think that they are a good playoff-caliber team. But the only issue is that one of the only teams that's been playing better than them over the past few weeks is Jacksonville. Jacksonville, to me, is the hottest team in football right now, despite their 14-40 loss against Detroit a few weeks ago. Besides that, I think they're the hottest team in football anyway. Trevor Lawrence has officially arrived. I think that he's playing at a top 10, if not top 8 level right now. And he has completely flipped me on his, by, like, with his play, as far as my opinion goes on him. Earlier in the season, I thought that he was just not a good NFL quarterback. He looked like he had no touch on his passes. He looked like he was making bad decisions and just couldn't handle pressure. But since the bye week, if not a couple weeks before, we'll go with, he's just been incredible. He's been playing like a top 10 quarterback, like I said, and their defense has been playing well. Their run game is good with ETN. They've got some good receivers with Christian Kirk and Zay Jones. Engram has been playing like the first round pick he was drafted to be by the Giants, that is, but you know. And so it's just got to be Jacksonville over the Chargers for me. I don't know how unpopular that is. I don't know that you agree with it, but that's what I'm going with. And then to keep the same order that I went with for the first one, we'll go one seed versus four seed. Jacksonville at Kansas City. And even though I just praised Jacksonville that hard over the Chargers, the Chiefs are still the best team in the AFC, maybe. They're among the top three where there's not much difference between the top three. And so Jaguars will give them a fight. I think it'll be a close game. I would not be the most shocked in the world to see the Jacksonville Jaguars win, but I can't predict it. I just can't, in good conscience, predict that Jacksonville will beat Kansas City. So I think it'll be close. It'll probably go to within a one-score game, but Kansas City is just going to be the better team and win. Then we have Buffalo at Cincinnati once again, just like this week. And that one gets hard for me because once teams play each other multiple times in the season, you get to make adjustments. What worked, what didn't, especially when it's this close to each other. This divisional round is going to be roughly a month from this week. Not even. There's going to be a couple weeks in between. So the teams are not going to be changing that much and their philosophies are not going to change. So I think that Buffalo maybe will be able to get their coaching under control because that's been their problem. They're just offensively inconsistent. That's why they're not the second seed or the first seed. I think that on a good day, nobody's beating Buffalo. They're the best team in the NFL by far. Well, we'll put the Eagles right there with them. On a good day, those are the two best teams. And they should be playing like that, but they just haven't. I'm going to go ahead and gamble that once they make their adjustments from their first game, I'm going to say Buffalo is going to beat Cincinnati, who the Super Bowl hangover is bound to hit them. It's a real thing, and it's bound to hit them. So I'm going to give Buffalo the win over Cincinnati, which gives us a repeat of last year's Mahomes versus Allen in Arrowhead. And it's tough, but I'm going Buffalo. I think that every time that Kansas City and Buffalo match up, the way they match up, I think Buffalo is just better. Their defense is better, and their run game has gotten so much better than the last couple of years. I don't know if it's running more, the addition of James Cook, Singletary giving better production than before, but their run game has been much better. So, whereas Kansas City, I feel like, plays down to their competition sometimes. Again, on a good day, they're among the best, too. They just are among the best, period. But I'm going with Josh Allen. I think he's finally going to get over that hump and beat Mahomes in the AFC Championship to make it to the Super Bowl, where they are headed to a face-off with the Eagles.
Wow. Okay. Bills Eagles Super Bowl. That would be very, very interesting. I would love to watch that. Let me do my AFC bracket now. Jets Bengals. Very similar to what you said. I love Mike White. I love the Jets in the playoffs again. It feels like, the 60s Jets, Joe Namath back in the playoffs. But sadly, Mike White is not Joe Namath. At least the team around him isn't good enough for him to be Joe Namath and win. And so he's not going to win. He's going to lose to the Bengals. I hate saying that, but I mean, really, like Joe Burrow, Bengals defense is still great. They look even better than they did last season. The Bengals are winning this game. On a different day, they could lose, but in the playoffs, they're not going to lose this game. Bengals winning. Next, Ravens versus Buffalo Bills. Similarly to what you said, the Ravens just, they haven't been great this year. It's surprising how good their record's been.
That's what
And
I'm
really, it's
saying.
been, sorry, what?
That's what I'm saying. It doesn't make sense. Where did these wins come from?
It comes from their defense. Their defense
No,
has
but
been
like,
pretty good.
and remember in the beginning of the season, they just kept blowing games, meaning their record should be like two or three games better than it already is. Where did this come from? I guess I was just not paying attention, is what the conclusion I made.
Well, their defense started playing well towards mid-season, and it's been scrappy wins. It's been like 20 to 17 wins, The Ravens win ugly. They win, but they win ugly. And that's what they've done pretty much for a lot of Lamar's career. Lamar either plays like an MVP candidate and wins, or the Ravens win in these really low-scoring, ugly defensive games. And that's kind of what they're good at. But at the same time, they're playing Buffalo, who, Buffalo can run up the score on anyone. Buffalo could also have an off game. Josh Allen could have an off game. But I think Josh Allen is more determined than pretty much any other quarterback in the league right now, or in the playoffs at least, to win. The Bills have not won a Super Bowl. They should have with Jim Kelly. And Josh Allen probably had a shot last year before they lost to Kansas City in that crazy divisional game. And I just don't see a scenario where Baltimore is going to hold Josh Allen to 17 or 20 points. Like you said, I don't think Lamar and the Ravens offense is explosive enough to run up the score right now, especially with all their injuries. Rashad Bateman's out. Their best receiver is Sammy Watkins, probably,
Yeah, they have
going into the
they'll sign
playoffs.
me and you off the streets.
Yeah, literally. We saw this in 2020, and Buffalo won on Lamar's pick six pretty much. It was a closer game than we thought it was going to be. I can see that happening. But with Lamar's injury, with him a little bit of rust, and with this offense not being explosive, I think Buffalo's going to win probably by at least 7 to 10 points. So I have Buffalo moving on, obviously. And then my final game, or the final game of the wild card, is Jacksonville versus Los Angeles. And Los Angeles has been rough this season. Yeah, they're 11-6. Herbo's finally in the playoffs. Good for Justin Herbert. Finally, his haters can't say that he's not in the playoffs because he's in the playoffs. But it hasn't been pretty. He's having his worst statistical season. The Chargers' offense is not moving the ball very well, and partly due to injuries. Keenan Allen and Mike Williams have hardly played this season. They're finally back now, but just in time for the playoffs. But I mean, still, it's like they're playing anew. It's like the beginning of the season for them. Their defense has been what really has surprised me. It's still not great, especially in the beginning of the season. They had a lot of issues, but they've been keeping other teams in check for the most part. They've only allowed 201 passing yards per game on the season. And Trevor Lawrence has been what's been hot for Jacksonville. He's the reason why they're winning. They have a pretty good overall team, but if the Chargers can hold Trevor Lawrence, from a big passing game, which I think they will, I think the Chargers win this one. It just comes down to the team. And even though Herbert might not have a fantastic game, I don't think it'll be a high scoring, crazy matchup. I think the Chargers are better on paper, and I think Herbert will get his first playoff game and it'll be a win. So I have Chargers moving on. Unlike you, Alex, I have them moving on.
Doesn't change
Next.
the result.
Well, we'll have to see what happens. But with the Chargers moving on, I have them playing Kansas City. And I am so tempted to have them beating Kansas City. I am so tempted because we've seen Herbert versus Mahomes, and every game has been close between the pair. Every game has been close. That being said, the Chargers just, there's something missing. It feels like they're missing that spark, and I don't see them catching it in this divisional round in the playoffs. Mahomes can turn on at any point, any game. He could become the best quarterback ever. Herbert looks great sometimes, but has inconsistencies. The team has inconsistencies. They're still not great, and I think it'll be a close game, but I think Kansas City will, like it always does, find a way to win the game and move on to the, you know, AFC championship game. And as you had, I have Cincinnati versus Buffalo with the other divisional game. And we both had Cincinnati, or have them, winning the game that they're about to play this upcoming week. And I have them winning this game in the playoffs as well. Look, I love Buffalo. I think Buffalo is the better team, but I think the Bengals are meant for this game. I think they match up a little bit better than some people are giving them credit for. I think the offense and Joe Burrow have been way more consistent. And Josh Allen, as much as I love him, he's pretty inconsistent. I could easily see a game where Cincinnati goes up early and then just, you know, holds Buffalo to, you know, 20 something points and wins the game. And I think that's what's going to happen in this divisional matchup. As much as I love Josh Allen, I don't think he's going to be able to get past these Bengals in the divisional round. So, setting up the same AFC championship game as last year, we have the Kansas City Chiefs versus the Cincinnati Bengals. And Patrick Mahomes is 0-3 versus Joe Burrow, you know, which is pretty crazy to think about. The Bengals are Mahomes' kryptonite. And I had the Chiefs in the Super Bowl at the start of the season. I had them winning the Super Bowl before the season started. And I have the Bengals beating them in the AFC championship game. For Mahomes to lose a fourth straight game to the Cincinnati Bengals. And look, I want Mahomes in the Super Bowl because I think it would be fun to watch. But at the same time, I think Cincinnati is the most dangerous team in the AFC right now. They match up well versus anybody. You know, they could have some rough games, but they find their way back in them. Their defense is grittier than people give them credit for. They have so many good veterans on this team. And then we're going to see, you know, a healthy receiving core with T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase, Joe Mixon on the ground. I mean, I think Cincinnati will win another close game in Kansas City, and Mahomes will go home again for the second straight year in the AFC championship game, setting up a Bengals-Eagles Super Bowl.
All right. It's definitely interesting.
Yeah. I know you were not expecting that.
No, I actually wasn't. I was going with KC for you.
And in different brackets I've done, I've had KC, but today I rethought it. I have Cincy right now. I may have made the wrong choice. I'm still going to be happy. If KC wins the Super Bowl and makes the Super Bowl, I'm going to be like, I said that before the season started. But, I mean, I have Cincy right now.
To me? Yeah, actually, now that I think about it, I had Buffalo in the Super Bowl before the season too.
Mm-hmm.
So we're both sticking to our guns, I guess.
Yeah.
To me, Cincinnati scares me with Zach Taylor. They keep digging themselves into this hole. Just like last week, they were up 22-0 or whatever it was, three scores, and completely blew it and only got bailed out by a Ramondre Stevenson fumble in the last minute or two on the last drive. They were down 17-0 to Tampa the week before. Obviously, they came back and dominated Tampa, but they were in that position to begin with, and they shouldn't have been. So I think that against some real teams, you know, teams that aren't the Patriots and Buccaneers, that they can't be doing that. It's not going to end the same way for them. So I'll go Buffalo. And now to talk about my Super Bowl prediction, it's going to come off so homerish. It's going to come off so homerish. I think that though these are the two best teams in the NFL on a good day, which is probably going to make my prediction wrong. The two best teams are never the ones in the Super Bowl. Never. Which is why I'm going to be wrong. But I think that it'll be a crazy game because it'll be a good day for both of them, I believe. And you got to lean the way of playoff experience with Josh Allen. And, I don't know. I think at Josh Allen has had a worse season than Jalen Hurts. The elbow is still bugging him, and he's just been more inconsistent, like you said, and the coaching has been inconsistent. They keep digging themselves into these holes and just having off days. They haven't been able to get Stephon Diggs going for the last few weeks, and that's not going to be easy against a Darius Slay or a James Bradbury. Their run game is good, but it's not great the way the Eagles is. And their defense, again, is good, but not great the way that the Eagles on a good day is. So I'm going with the Eagles for the Super Bowl. Yeah, there's your helmet.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to do something that I shouldn't do, but I'm going to backtrack on my last pick, and I'm going to take the Chiefs over the Bengals. And I know that that's weird to say. I know that I probably shouldn't be doing this, but it's so close. The fact that I'm doing it is that you know how close it is to me. I think it's going to come down to the wire, and I'm going to take the Chiefs over the Bengals and Eagles-Chiefs Super Bowl, okay? And the reason why I initially switched it, I had the Chiefs, you know, when I first was about to do this with you, was because I don't like seeing two first seeds in the Super Bowl. I don't think it's very practical. It usually doesn't happen.
Right. The two best teams never make it.
Yeah, it just doesn't really happen. And so, I figure, kryptonite. No, Joe Burrow is Pat Mahomes' kryptonite. But I don't think that Pat Mahomes is going to lose a fourth straight matchup to Joe Burrow. I'm going to take him in the Super Bowl and have it be an Eagles-Chiefs Super Bowl. And just because that's what I had before, I'm going to keep it that. So Eagles-Chiefs Super Bowl. Now, since I just did this, I have to think about who's going to win because I don't know. That being said, I'm going to take the Chiefs. And I want to go Eagles, and it could just be a big Eagles parade between the two of us. But I feel like that's just our biases leaning into it. You know, the inexperience, just everything. I think the Chiefs, the Bengals, or the Bills could all be in the Super Bowl against the Eagles or the Niners or I don't want to sit down. The Eagles or the Niners.
Or the Vikings, and if the luck keeps up. I mean,
yeah, I guess if the luck keeps up. And I think the AFC has the stronger teams. I think the Chiefs, Bengals, and Bills, besides the Eagles, are the three strongest teams in the playoffs right now. The Eagles are probably the strongest. But I think Mahomes and his experience are going to propel him to a narrow win over the Eagles. I hate saying it, but give Mahomes MVP and Super Bowl in my take and have the Chiefs win. And you know how close it was because I almost took the Bengals. I did take the Bengals, but I'm going to take the Chiefs and then I'm going to take them again against our Eagles. And I'm going to pray to God that we actually win in the scenario and that I'm wrong. But yeah, just for the sake of diversity and also because I want to, piggyback on my original take, I'm going to take the Chiefs in the whole thing.
I think it's the Eagles' year.
I sure hope
so. The most complete team in football.
Got the hat. I got the helmet. The Eagles are definitely playing as the best team, at least in the regular season. It's about how you get hot in the playoffs. We saw that last year. The Bengals were not the best team at all in the AFC last year. They were probably, I would say, the fourth or fifth best team when you're looking at the regular season and just everything, on paper. But the defense stepped up. Burrow stepped up. They got past the Chiefs. They got past the Raiders. They got past, who did they beat in the division? They got past the Titans in a gritty defensive matchup.
And that hard to pick.
They made the Super Bowl.
Pretty sure you, in fact, you did pick that.
What?
The Bengals beating the Titans.
I did, but I thought that they were going to lose to the Chiefs, and to my surprise, I missed the beginning of that game, saw the ending, and yeah.
You know what? Show me the Jaguars in the Super Bowl.
I would love to see Show me a Trevor Lawrence, Daniel Jones Super Bowl.
Yo, no. I'll tell you what. I'll do you one better. Show me a Mike White, Taylor Heinicke Super Bowl.
You know what I want to see? A Justin Herbert,
Carson Wentz Super Bowl.
Not Carson Wentz. Justin Herbert, Kirk Cousins Super Bowl. The battle over the social media quarterback.
Social media quarterback.
Is Kirk
supposedly a social media quarterback?
Herbert. Kirk Cousins isn't.
Are people calling him that?
No, people are calling Justin Herbert a social media quarterback. Emmanuel Acho, yeah. Former Eagle.
I mean, it's certainly a bold take, but it's not an unprecedented one.
Justin Herbert's a great quarterback. Let's be real. He's a great quarterback.
I think we got a top 10 episode to do.
We do. We do have a top 10 episode to do.
I think we have a top 10 episode to do.
And we rambled a lot about a lot of stuff, but that's what you get when you return.
State my opinion on that.
When we're gone for a whole year, you have to expect us to come back stronger than ever. And that's what we did. We both took the Eagles making the Super Bowl, and then I switched. I was going to have the Eagles winning, and then I was like, you know what? The Chiefs are going to win, and then win. Whatever. We're both probably completely wrong. Knowing our luck, it's going to be like Niners, Ravens, or Niners.
At least we have them in the NFC Championship. It's going to be the Vikings' luck keeping up somehow.
Imagine if the Vikings win four straight one-score games.
Right.
And win the Super Bowl.
They're blessed by a higher power.
Justin Jefferson's going to
be.
Super Bowl, I swear.
And then who's going to win in the AFC? And then Jacksonville going to make it.
Or Lamar has just this crazy run. Imagine. Like, there's so many crazy things that could happen. But, I mean, at the end of the day, I think both of our predictions are pretty valid. We have good reasoning for them. And we both picked Dallas to get out. So
that's a win in my book.
Yeah. But if you've listened to all of this already, I hope you enjoyed. Thank you so much. I'm sorry we've been gone for so long. Never again. Come back stronger than ever. And look forward to upcoming episodes. We're going to try to record at least a couple in these next upcoming weeks. Definitely when we have the playoff bracket secured, we could talk a little bit more about that, because who knows, maybe we'll have the Lions or the Patriots or something in the playoffs. You never know. And then we'll have to start talking about Jared Goff being Super Bowl MVP. That's something that people don't want to hear, but it's going to happen. Anyway, I don't know what we're even doing here anymore, but thank you for listening. Hope you enjoyed. Bye-bye.